It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about toilet research, how to avoid damage to pipes and sewage systems. Paper products manufacturer Kimberly-Clark is the maker of brands like Kleenex and Huggies, Cottonelle toilet paper, and they have a flushability lab in Neenah studying what can go down the toilet and what cannot. Join this conversation by calling in with your toilet flushing questions or thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. David Powling is a North American engineering technical leader at Kimberly-Clark. David, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Wow. Good morning, Kate. Delighted to join you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes. So take us into the flushability lab and what you study, how you conduct these tests.
Sure. Yeah. The flushability lab's been around for well over 20 years now. And the purpose of it is to test products which are going to be flushed to make sure they're compatible with the wastewater sewage infrastructure. So we have a whole range of tests down there which have evolved through that 20 years with the different groups that have been studying this issue. It's a worldwide thing. You wouldn't believe it, but it is. So we have a range of tests. There's seven main tests which we do for making sure that products are compatible and can carry a flushable claim on pack. But other tests as well, which have come from different parts of the world, which look at flowing sewers and various other things. So a lot of fun stuff down there, and we have clear pipes on our drain line so you can see things moving, which was really interesting for the plumbers who came to our lab back in the January time.
Oh, you can see right into the pipes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have, unlike in your home, we have clear PVC pipes, which allow us to track materials through the drain line after it's been flushed, make sure that it clears, look out for issues, and test for various things. So very, very helpful. There's a lot of learning. When a plumber comes into the lab, they're like a child in the candy shop because they've never seen it before and they really enjoy it.
Can you, I wonder, David, define flushable? Like, is there an industry standard or definition for what flushable means?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The main definition for flushable comes from the Nonwovens associations. They created the definition way back in 2008, and it's really pretty much the same wherever you go. But in essence, if I sort of drill down to it, for a product to be flushable, there needs to be evidence that the product is going to be compatible with toilets and drain lines. It's going to clear those. It's going to pass through, maintain wastewater conveyance systems compatible with treatment and disposal systems, and be unrecognizable in effluent leaving the on-site or municipal wastewater treatment processes, which that would then subsequently go for application to soil in many cases.
So you feel like even in the industry, everyone kind of knows exactly what the standard is, and what about compliance with flushability? Because we've often heard you don't put wipes, even if they say flushable on the package, you just don't do it. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of media that points to that. I think, within the non-wovens industry in North America now, there's really good compliance with the INDA standard, as it's called. People have really cottoned on to that. It's been important to make sure that your products do that. Before that existed, it was a little bit like the Wild West. People were doing their own tests. There wasn't standardization. So that has really, I think, elevated that discussion. The scheme, just with an ISO standard or a country standard, is voluntary. There is, however, what has happened through time, we spent a lot of time working with our colleagues in the wastewater, and there are groups from the wastewater community who've issued their own standards, and we are now working with one of those groups as part of a settlement of a municipal lawsuit, and we are getting audited. So it's starting to come. I think we'll see that come more and more, but Kimberly-Clark has products, their flushable wipes are audited independently 3 times a year to make sure that they meet the wastewater standard, which is much more stringent today than the industry standard. And for that, we're allowed to put a logo on the pack. So if you find your pack of Cottonelle flushable wipes, you look on the back, you will see a small logo which says IWSFG. and a picture of a toilet. And that's a message to everyone that it's safe to flush.
Let's bring on a call now. Chad in Green Bay. Chad, what is your question?
I spent some time in South America, and I know that a lot of their toilet paper is not flushable. So you'll see these little, like, garbages next to the toilet, and wondering if there's anything they can do about, like, maybe making a rapidly degrading toilet paper for that particular problem.
Chad, thank you. Yes, go ahead, David.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chad. You bring up a great, really great point. And as you go around the world, the plumbing infrastructure that exists in various countries is not as developed or as efficient as the infrastructure that might exist in North America. And places like Greece and Brazil, people don't flush toilet paper even. Okay, so you know it's to that point where it is accepted that there is a bin beside the toilet, and people, rather than flushing the toilet paper, will put it in a bin.
Kimberly Clark's David Pauling is a technical leader working on studies in its flushability lab. You can call in with questions and comments about toilet research and what you wonder about paper products and pipes. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about data collection and toilet flushing and how it informs the paper-based products at Kimberly Clark. Its flushability lab is in Neenah in East Central Wisconsin. Call in with questions about what is safe for pipes and sewer systems to handle your clogging concerns. Right here at 800-642-1234, David Pauling with us, one of Kimberly Clark's North American engineering technical leaders. Let's bring in Christina in Menominee. Christina, hi. What's your question?
Hi there. Thank you for this important topic. I live in the country. We have a septic system, so I avoid pouring fatty or greasy items down the sink in the toilet. And I'm wondering, is this truly necessary to avoid? And also, what other items should be avoided?
David,
okay,
yes.
Well, yeah, no, thanks for the question. So I think you're very wise with septic systems to avoid fats and greases. If that's not a great thing in the septic tank, those fats and greases will float to the top and you'll get a very strong scum layer. So I think avoiding that is probably a good thing. The main thing about a septic system really is that you need to make sure that you're not putting non-flushable wipes, as I will refer to them. So things like baby wipes and cotton swabs and dental, anything like that, that really is not going to do well in your septic system. The septic system relies on getting cellulosic material in it. Organic material, which it can then, anaerobic process, it can digest those pulp fibers and turn them into sludge for you. So sticking with toilet papers, the Kimberly Clark flushable wipes are great with septic systems. We've done a lot of work there. Wouldn't have a problem for that. But, yeah, keeping it simple is a good message for the septic users out there.
Christina, thank you for that question. You know, as you go down the list of things that are not to be put in flush, you know, facial tissues, or what you prefer to call Kleenex, I'll allow it. What is the issue here with facial tissues?
Yeah, it's what you find, Kate. Some of them will not break up in the the flowing system, and some of them may float as well. So within that bank of seven tests we do, we look for disintegration, we look for things that float. There are many facial tissues that will float, some will not break apart, and as such, if you ran the flushability assessment with them, you would find that they would not be deemed to be flushable.
There is this listing for an American standard toilet we found online. Says the toilet can flush a bucket of 18 golf balls. What is the capacity of, or what is the flushing strength of an average American toilet?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, what has happened over time is that the volume of water being used for flushing has gone down. We're currently using 1.28 gallon toilets in the US. They used to be much bigger than they were twice that capacity not many years ago. And what that does is it does reduce the amount of water that's available in the plumbing system to transport the solids through the pipes and get them to the municipal or the on-site disposal system that you have. So I don't know. I think what the manufacturers are trying to indicate to you is that they've got a strong flush. I don't know that there's a. We don't do any measures on how strong the flush is. We're more interested in moving the different solids that we put in there. We've run a bunch of different toilets here. We've had toilets from around the world. In fact, from the UK, from Australia, Germany. They're all slightly different. They all have slightly different delivery mechanisms, which play into how far things will travel. But I don't know if there's a standard answer for the question that you gave. But yeah,
I wonder: is it concerning though that companies market how much clogging a toilet can withstand? Is that concerning to you? Because it is, these sewer systems may not be able to handle it.
Yeah. To think about your question there, right? I mean, I think what they're trying to communicate is that they have a toilet which is very effective at flushing and help clearing mm-hmm. the line, which is what you need to do, right? I think the capacity for the sewer systems to handle the waste that's coming from a toilet is perfectly fine. So I don't think we're running into issues there. I think it's just really a marketing from the toilet manufacturers to encourage people to purchase their toilet because it will flush better than perhaps a competitive toilet.
What makes a toilet paper more environmentally friendly, if you will? Is there something we should look for as consumers?
Yeah, toilet papers, they're all made using wood pulp. If you look on the different manufacturers, and many of them are using sustainable forestry. Some will introduce some recycled fibers. There are trends now where people are looking to use alternate fibers. You'll find products with bamboo fibers being in use there. I mean, the main thing about toilet paper is it does need to be cellulosic in its construction because the process, the wastewater process, is a biological process where it takes the cellulose and breaks it down. Mm-hmm. And the bugs that break it down, they want cellulose for food and they will turn that into sludge for you. And that sludge is a really useful resource, right? That's being used to go to fields. It's being used, sometimes being repurposed for soil amendments and all sorts of stuff now. So the wastewater treatment facilities have really got a very interesting sort of resource recovery asset in the midst now. It's interesting to watch.
David Powling with us, engineering technical leader at Kimberly-Clark, involved with their flushability lab in Neenah. Let's go to Jim in River Falls. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So a little bit off the subject of toilets, but somebody called in about septic systems. And a concern with septic systems is the effluent that comes out of washing machines with all the synthetic fibers that go out in that water, they can get into a septic system and they'll plug up the drain field over time. And so I've got a filter on the outflow of my washing machine and I have to clean that after several loads of laundry because it has fibers in there that just come from clothes. And I mean, the synthetic fibers, like some of the microplastics that get into the environment, they don't break down over time. It's an issue to be concerned about, if you do have a septic system, though.
Jim, thank you for that, as do I. I have that lint type of trap for my washing machine. David, any thoughts there?
Yeah, no, it brings up a great point, right? There's a lot of research going on now looking at fibers that get released from the laundering process, right? And having that filter in place is good. Now, you know, some of those fibers are going to be probably rayon, which is a cellulose actually. So that's not so much the issue. But polyesters are popular, right, within you know your fleece and what have you. And those are harder to break down, right? Polyester doesn't tend to break down. I mean, there's work going on looking at enzymes that will take that down. But at the moment, you will find if they do get released, they will be persistent and they will float. They will find their ways into rivers and there's plenty of research out there where people have gone to the ocean and they've been able to identify different fibers. And it's coming from laundering predominantly, we think.
What questions do you hope to explore further in the flushability lab? Where is it headed in our last minute together?
Yeah, no, we've done a lot of work with plumbers in the last 3 or 4 years. It's been really instructive to us. Our focus has been wastewater, right, from the outset, but working with plumbers, we get to see their world, they get to see our world, we share, we learn, we get better, and I think that's really helped us with our design for our flushable product. I'm very happy with where that sits today, and we're getting a lot of praise from it from other groups. So I think we will continue to do that. We'll continue to share what we know and share what we learn with other groups. I think next year, I think we have the Fox Valley Tech plumbers coming back to see us once again. So it'll be good to see Greg Van Lennon and his students again in perhaps January of next year. So we look forward to that.
Well, we appreciate your time taking us into the research in the flushability lab. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you very much, Kate.
David Powling is a North American engineering technical leader at Kimberly-Clark. And for disclosure, Kimberly-Clark Corporation is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.